Good morning.
Good morning.
Call to worship comes from Psalms 112, verses 1 through 2. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. With that upon our hearts, let's turn to hymn number 34.
Please stand if you're able.
Share something with you this morning. It says, out of my devotion, just like Jesus, people harvest only what they plant. And you can find that in Galatians 6, verse 7. Think for a moment your heart as a greenhouse. And your heart, like a greenhouse, has to be managed. Consider for a moment your thoughts as seed. Some thoughts become flowers, others become weeds. Ever wonder why some people have a Teflon capacity to resist negativity? Thank you. Couldn't get it out there. And remain patient, optimistic, and forgiving. Could it be that they have diligently sown seeds of goodness and are enjoying the harvest? Think about that. Any announcements? Miss Maxine.
Okay. We're going to be re-updating the prayer chain list back here. We have some people that are deceased and some people that are no longer coming, and new people that have expressed to me that they would like to be on the prayer chain. So just let me know, and then we're going to rework the prayer chain list and try to make it more effective here.
The announcement of mine that I got it would be the 28th, Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock.
Council meeting.
Yeah.
And you know what? We all should be about our Father's business. Any other announcements? It's birthday Sunday. Did we forget? When Alice said that, I said, oh, see, Alice, when it comes my time to do the treat, I know I'm going to forget. Yes.
You would not got it here.
No, I mean about making the treat ahead of time. So don't forget when you leave, get a little birthday treat. Let's sing that. Oh, how many birthdays in February? Yeah, all right. A couple back there. Kelly just had a birthday. She left. And who else did I see? That birthday list was Josie. Yes, Josie has one at the end of the month. Yeah. Okay, let's sing that song. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Good job. Okay, if there's no other announcements, let's move into joys and concerns. It's a joy. I have a joy. Uncle June's back. I have another joy. Bob and Linda survived a bout with the flu. And Miss Frances, she survived. Miss Wanda had a cold. Very good. Wait a minute. Eli?
Bruce, who comes to Love Feast, his daughter that we've been praying for that had cancer, the radiation and chemo is working wonderful. It's gotten more than half of it.
Wow.
So if the Lord is working.
Very good. Okay, Larry?
Yeah, I want to remember the Dennis Smith family. They've been farmers and friends of theirs for generations. And Dennis got killed about a week ago. He was under the skid loader and had a round bale on it, getting ready to feed the cows, and he was cutting the wrapping. You know, if you see round bales, they got white wrappings on them. Some of them do, some of them don't. But he was underneath the skid loader, and the bucket came down, the skid loader came down and mashed. And it's very sad because his barn had just burned down about 3 or 4 months ago, and we kept his cows for him until he got his new barn, and he had his new barn just getting ready to get back on track again. Now this happened. Don Smith family on Dublin Road outside of Woodsboro. And that boy of mine, him and Dennis was good friends, and he's pretty tore up about it. So I definitely want to pray for him and give the Smith family their condolences. And if you think you got it bad, you never know what's going to happen from one day to the next. And we would never dream anything like this would ever happen. But it did. Okay. And now he's gone.
Alice just wants you to know that there's pans back there. If anybody has pans or bowls that they're missing, they're in the back. Okay. Prayers, concerns?
Yeah, I'd just like to thank everyone for their share of concern and their prayers while we've been out fighting a little bit of this bug stuff. And I tell you, it has no mercy. It shows no partiality on joints. It just follows them all.
It's not discriminatory, is it?
No.
They pick anybody. They any of you are a host to them.
But thank you so much for your concerns and prayer. Appreciate it. Thank God for his desire for us to be back here in his worship today.
I just want to put on the prayer list a few. Ken and Marilyn Oland, I don't know. I know some of you know Ken and Marilyn. They're both in Frederick Memorial Hospital. They decided to be a loving family and share their sickness so much to the extent that they both ended up in the hospital with the flu. Ken has the flu and pneumonia, and Marilyn has the flu and bronchitis. So let's pray for them and pray for their daughter, Kim, that came in and took care of them and cleaned, disinfected the house, that she doesn't get it also. And there's...
I want to put the Pug Finnecrock family on. Pug is not doing well. He is now in a Lutheran home in Gettysburg. And his wife, Ruthie, is losing her sight. And I want to keep their daughter, Rhonda, because she has her hands full with both of them. They all ask for prayers deeply. I have some unspoken requests. And also, I had a procedure done on Thursday. I'm waiting on results of that, and I go for another one on this Thursday. So keep me in your prayers as well.
Anyone else? Okay, let's come before the Lord how you feel most comfortable. Oh, Father, how great thou art. With you, we are mere dirt. I mean, without you, we are mere dirt, mere dirt. But when you lay your hands upon the clay and you mold it and shape it and form it, oh, we can be so blessed. We're so thankful to have you as our maker and as our redeemer. Father, we come with you with many petitions this morning. You've heard each and every one. You've heard of a farmer who has lost his life. Father, we pray for that family, for that is a strong void that has to be filled, and only you can do that. Mend those broken hearts and give that family comfort. Father, we think of those that have been touched with the flu bug this season. It hasn't discriminated against any, young and old alike. We know of a set of twins that are just preemie babies that are in John Hopkins battling for their life. And then we know on the other spectrum, Ken and Marilyn Olin that are in their 80s battling this dreadful flu. Father, we think of the answered prayer. We see it in everything. We just have to open our eyes to see it. We see Uncle June back. We see Bob and Linda and Miss Frances, so many in our congregation. And I don't want to miss anyone. You know who they are that you have brought them back to recovery from whether it be a flu or surgery or whatever. And we just give you the praise and the glory for that. Father, we think of those that are stricken with cancer. We know that you can take that away. if you could part the Red Sea, if you could make the blind see, if you could heal the lame and bring the dead back to life, you can eradicate that disease within a body. Father, you give the doctors and the nurses and the technicians the knowledge and the equipment to do it. And Father, let them be wise to come to you for counsel and before they make their decisions. Father, we think of the Finifrock family that has many trials before them. And Rhonda is the only caregiver. We ask that you give her strength and courage and guidance in the days ahead. For it's not an easy task to be a caregiver of one, let alone two parents that are down with trouble. Father, we think of the procedures that so many of us had this last couple months, and we had favorable outcomes. We need to look to you for that. Father, we think of our young people. Oh, Father, our young people need you more now than ever. The parents need you to know what decisions to make and how to come before their children and young people to counsel them so that they will open their ears and hearts. So, Father, we just ask that you touch both sides there and give them the guidance and wisdom they need. Father, we think of our military. Father, we just ask that you would be with them, protect them, guide them. And Father, along that lines, we bring in our elected officials. Father, more than ever, this country and its leaders need you. And we need to pray every day that they open their hearts up and that they see that they need to come on bended knee to humble themselves and ask for your guidance and for your wisdom. All, if we could just all have a humble heart, wouldn't this world be so wonderful, Father? If God was humbling enough to put you in a manger with cows and hay, his one and only son, where do we think that we're so mighty that we can't come down on bended knee and ask for your help, Father? So, Father, now we just ask lastly that you would be with Pastor Tracy, that you would lift him up, lift his family up. May his words flow freely today. May his words be your words and give them a blessing for their efforts, for what they do for the flock. And Father, we just thank you for all that you are and all that you do for each and every one of us here. Now may we unite our hearts and our voices in that perfect prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, Jared. You know, our Sunday school lesson this morning downstairs was something that any age can take and learn from it. It's to be a servant. All of us need to know that. We need to be servants. And what did Jesus say? Who among you will be the greatest if you will just be a servant? So it doesn't take much. Just a kind heart and an open hand to be one of the greatest in his kingdom. Okay. Now, call to Christian giving comes from Malachi 3, verses 10 through 11. Bring all the tithes in the storeroom, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that you will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Now we will have the offering. Father, once again we come before you to ask your blessings, to ask your blessings over these offerings, Father, that we may know how to use them wisely to build your kingdom, build your church here on earth, to bring the lost ones into you. Father, we just ask that you bless the giver also, the hands that have worked to make this money, to put in the plates. And Father, we just thank you for all that you are and all that you do. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now we return to hymn number 2.
Please stand. Person that I've forgotten on the prayer list, and that's Miss Pauline. For those of you, maybe you didn't get contacted or whatever, if you have a few minutes, send her a card this week to brighten her spirits, okay?
Yeah, I went to see her Thursday, and she said it was the best day she's had in a long time.
Good.
I took her out, we went to visit other people, and then she went to play bingo, so she had a great day Thursday.
Good, good. That's what you need. How many of us, and we can get out and motivate, how many of us get the winter blahs? So if you can, that's great if you can do.
One thing I want to mention, Deb, I made some copies and laid them on the back bench back there about Planned Parenthood, how they see a baby. And it's a little disturbing, but please avail yourselves to it back there and just read it. And I tell you, I don't know, it's hard to cope with. The rear bench back there, if you just avail yourself of it, I think you would learn to know a little bit more about the destruction that takes place there.
Okay, the scripture today comes from Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I love that scripture. Now let's give Pastor Tracy our undivided attention.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, just pause at this moment to ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds would be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. We give you thanks for life itself. Thank you, Lord, for family and friends, for a chance to come here and to worship you on this, your day. And so, Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit would have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Man walked into a mom and pop shop and asked, do you have any salt? And the short storekeeper there, he said, salt? He said, do we have salt? He said, come here. And so he led him back through to the store, to the back wall, and on the back wall, the whole back wall was just covered shell after shell of all different kinds of salt. He had Epsom salt. He had, of course, kosher salt, Morton salt. He even had garlic salt. He had, of course, salt to make ice cream with, and he even had Himalayan pink salt. This is supposed to be really good to use, incidentally. And so he said, the man said to him, wow, he said, you have salt. He said, do we have salt? He said, come here. So he took him back to the back room and opened up the door to the back room. Here, the back room, storage room, was all full of salt, all kinds of salt. The man said, wow, he said, you really have salt. He said, do we have salt? He said, come here. So he took him down into the basement. Basement was just full of salt, all kinds of salt, and salt for cow licks and all kinds of varieties and brands. He said, you have salt. He said, wow. He said, you must really sell a lot of salt. He said, no, we don't sell very much salt. But boy, that salt salesman, he knows how to sell salt. Salt. Common to us these days. It is the chemical symbol NaCl, and it is a white crystalline compound known as sodium chloride. It is commonly called to us salt. There are probably more than 30 times in the Bible the reference of salt, and the earliest references are found in the book of Job. I think probably next to Genesis, Job is probably the earliest book. And in Job it says, can an unsavory thing be eaten that is not seasoned with salt? A little salt is necessary and good for the body. You know, saline solutions are really important in medicine. And they even have various salt treatments and cures for those that are ailing. I understand there's even a cave that you can go down into and sit in the salt and supposed to be good for your health. It is estimated to be over 14,000 different uses for salt. We refer to it in a variety of ways. We say to salt away means to store or to stash away money, to put money away for a rainy day. Salt, you know, lowers the freezing point, and so we use it in the wintertime for salt and for salting the roads, for our walkways, to help with ice and in order to cause it to melt. We talk about salting down things, so when you're preserving meat, very important in that. We love ham that is salted. I remember on the farm, on Thanksgiving Day, we'd always have butchering, and we had a stone, what we called the a wash house, and in there we'd set up tables, and we put the hams on those tables. And so the last thing that Dad did on butchering night was to salt down the hams, and they would be there curing for a couple of weeks before we smoked them. And there's also to take away or take with a grain of salt. And so that often refers that, you know, if we have doubts about something or we're using something in exaggeration, we think about taking something with a salt, a grain of salt. The government has come out, you know, with guidelines about how much salt we're supposed to have. And so they tell us that we're getting too much salt. A lot of that comes from the pre-packaged processed items that we choose to buy. And so we do maybe have to watch what we take in, our sodium intake. But oftentimes it's more so not with the salt shaker that we add, but the stuff that we're getting in the foods that we buy. So we do have to regulate our salt and remember to take just a pinch of salt instead of putting too much on. It is very important how we utilize salt. Well, our scripture today speaks about salt. And, you know, so many times when I hear sermons about this text, they immediately go right to the light. They go to talking about the light. Maybe it's a little easier about talking about light than salt. So today I'm choosing to specifically focus on the first part of Jesus' text here and talk about salt. It is, I think, for us a salty similitude for us to take heart. The word similitude means resemblance. And Jesus says here that we are like salt. We are like light. So this morning I want us to focus on what it means to be salt. Matthew's gospel is read for us here and is in your bulletin for us to follow. And I'm not going to read that again. Sister Deb read that for us. But also you can find this in Luke's gospel as well. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I want you to note that in both of these gospel accounts, here and also recorded in Mark, we hear this, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt, referring to Leviticus 2:13. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. I'd like for you to think about how Jesus connects salt with these things. It says here that if we aren't salty, we become useless. Mark here ties its effectiveness with harmony and unity in the body, in the community of faith. And so we are to have peace with one another. And then Luke challenges us to hear this and to receive it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, but he said, you are the salt of the earth. He's the light of the world, but you and I, we are the salt of the earth. Fred Craddock, who is kind of a pastor to pastors, wrote this. I like this. He said, the you is plural. The life of Jesus' disciples is not individualistic, but it is conceived throughout as life within the community of faith, a community charged with a mission to the world. The non-retaliatory essence of the new kingdom brought by Jesus is perfectly modeled. Though out of step with the world and persecuted like their master, the disciples of Jesus live their lives for the sake of the world that persecutes them. Salt does not exist for itself, nor do the disciples. Their life is turned outward to the world. The saying serves as a warning that if the disciples deny their mission, they too will be thrown out as useless. Salt loses its saltiness not by some impossible chemical miracle, but by becoming so impure, so mixed with other elements, that it loses its function, it loses its purity. And so the purpose of salt and its function includes at least three basic purposes, I think it's good for us to remember these influences. It is served as savoring or flavoring foods, giving food more flavor. My wife and son loves to watch the Food Network, and on there, several of the top chefs of the world, they're always fussing the cooks about putting enough salt in on things, and so we know salt brings out flavor. The second way is to preserve meat and fish, as we talked about a little bit earlier, and then the third way is the purification. And so it is oftentimes used in antiseptics, in mouthwash, and toothpaste. And did you know many years ago that it was believed by parents to rub down newborn babies with salt ensured that they would have good health? And so children were salted when they were born. Other possible meanings that Matthew might have had in mind about salt include that reference here to the sacrifices in the Old Testament. And we know that Matthew is writing for a Jewish audience, and so it's very logical that he would have this in mind. And it was a symbol of loyalty and covenant fidelity. Eating together was called sharing salt. Let's share salt. And it was an expression of binding relationship, and it was a sign of honor and friendship and hospitality. The Arabs still use an expression, there is salt between us. And that's not to mean something negative, that's something positive. It means that we've eaten together and we're friends. There was salt between us. Even at work in our lunchroom, we have salt and pepper on each table. You know, we still have that salt when we sit down together to eat. There is salt between us. It is a beautiful saying of friendship. The historical context of salt includes that the earliest highways of trade oftentimes were called salt. One of the Romans roads that the Romans built was called the Via Salaria, and it was called the Salt Road. And so we know that this had an impact on their society. Economically, in the early society, salt was a chief product, and it was often considered scarce and very precious, and sometimes even used as money. Caesar's soldiers received part of their pay in salt. And so we get that phrase salarium, which we get our word salary from. That's where our word salary comes from. And if a man didn't work hard, it said that he didn't earn his wages, and so he wasn't worth his weight in salt. He wasn't worth his salt. And so we see these areas that are very important. Romans even would take salt, and as if they were conquering an area and it was someone that they wanted to really totally destroy, they would pour salt on the land in order to try to keep the land from being fertile. Dr. Charles Stanley says that Jesus wants us to take seriously our role as salt and as a preservative. Our behavior is to be distinctly different from those who do not know God, and it must not reflect the same kinds of sin that corrupt a godless culture. Does anyone know that you're a light burning with the fire of heaven? What good works do they see you doing that reflect well on your Heavenly Father? How does your faith cause you to behave differently from anyone else? I think those are important questions for us to ask ourselves. Oswald Chambers wrote, he said, a Christian is salt, and salt is the most consecrated thing known. Salt preserves wholesomeness and prevents decay. It is a disadvantage to be salt. Also, think of the action salt on a wound, and you will reveal this. If you get salt in a wound, it hurts, and when God's children are among those who are raw towards God, their presence hurts. The man who is wrong with God is like an open wound, and when salt gets in, it causes annoyance and distress, and he is spiteful and bitter. The disciples of Jesus in the present dispensation preserve society from corruption. The salt causes excessive irritation, which spells persecution for the saint. And so when we think about the things that are happening in our society and in our day, is it any wonder that there isn't some reaction? Isn't there some irritation there because Christians see society as one way and the world sees society as another? Are you salt in our world? Do you have a positive, good influence on those around you? Or is the opposite true? Is the world having an influence on you? Are you being contaminated by the world with backsliding? Are you deteriorating, soon to be cast away for neglecting your calling? Are you worth your salt? Well, we can become absorbed in our own selves, our own schedules, our own ambitions. We can lose that spiritual enthusiasm. We can become indifferent to religion altogether and give up attending church. We can be bound by forms and habits. And if we do so, we will experience displeasure and we will be unfit for kingdom work. We are called, brothers and sisters, to be a good influence on those around us, to be in the world, but not of it. That was so important to the early brethren. You know, I remember on the farm that we would put out a salt block where the cattle fed, oftentimes in the corner there. And so if they had a desire, their body needed a little bit extra salt, they could go over and lick the salt block and get their minerals and their salt included in their diet. And the cows often liked it, especially when we put out a new lick. They would come over and lick on it. And so as we rub elbows with those at work and those that we come into contact with at the grocery store or wherever, we want to leave a little salt. We want to have what it means to be a taste, get a little taste of salt in our encounter with them. And so to be so in love with the Lord that we leave behind a flavoring in our conversation, in our contact with them. You know, when you eat something salty, also the other thing is that it makes you thirsty. And so you want to wash it down with a drink. And so in a sense, we're helping others to get thirsty for God when they see the love that we have for God and our relationship with Him. It makes them a little thirsty. What is it that you got? What is it when the whole world is caving in and you seem to still hold it together? How do you do that? And so we make them thirsty for God. There's a little cartoon thing with Charlie Brown one day. Peppermint Patty is talking to Charlie Brown, and she says, "Well, guess what, Chuck? She's the first day of school, and I got sent to the principal's office. And it was your fault, Chuck." And he's like, "My fault? How could it be my fault? Why do you say everything is my fault?" She said, "You're my friend, aren't you, Chuck? You should have been a better influence on me." Yes, you are the salt of the earth. You can have an influence on those around you. You can be a salty similitude of God's presence in this world. And clearly, our calling is to do that. We are to be in the world, but not of it. But we are to change our world. We are to change society. Change our families. Change our friends. Give them a taste of what it's like to be a Christian that is in love with a God who loves us so much. And so our calling in the world is to be a visible community of faith. To be an active community of faith, whose role is to play the role of salt, whichever salt you choose, but to be salt in our world today. And to not fulfill that role, which is a vital role, is to make oneself useless for the work of the kingdom of God. Salt is a metaphor, if you will, of describing our calling in the world. And as a community of faith, we are to be a contrast society. What happens here is different from what happens in the world. We are to be a contrast to them, a different way of living. Our Church of the Brethren tagline, as you can see on the front of your bulletin, continuing the work of Jesus peacefully, simply, and together. It is a different way of living. And that is our Church of the Brethren motto, our tagline, which we've been using for the last decade or so. And it is to call us to a different way of living in our current culture. If we our salt, we will have an influence. If we lose our saltiness, we'll become flat, and we will be gently, maybe just become useless. We will lose our sense of meaning. What has God called you to do? You know, we believe in the priesthood of all believers, and so we have a ministry all together. Each of us have an important part to play in the ministry, and so we have a part to fulfill. And so what is it that God's put on your heart to do? Maybe it's working with Ladies Aid. Maybe it's reaching out through the food bank in our community. Maybe helping with the fire company. Whatever it is God has called you to do, be salt and be light in that community. You know, there's a variety of ways to reach out. We don't all have the same interests. We don't all have the same gifts. And so what one person can do, another maybe not interested in doing, but they have something to do. And as we reach out, we will be meeting physical, emotional, and spiritual needs as well. And so what is that you could be doing? And maybe what is it something that maybe something more that you could be doing? If I can be a little salt on you this morning, what is it that God's calling you to do and you haven't done? Do it. Be salt. Are you the salt? Are you worth your salt? I hope that you have salt. Salt of the earth people have a simple goodness about them that's worthy of respect, and we are a salty similitude of God's presence in the world. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the calling that you have given to us to be the salt of the earth. And I just ask as your children, Lord, that you would help to make a difference in the needy and in the lost in our world today, Lord, that so much needs to see you. I pray, Lord, that you would let us be a good influence on the, as a Christian, to preserve our society, our generation, this generation, Lord, to be light to others. And I pray, Lord, you would forgive us for the times when we have been useless for the kingdom of God. Lord, would you make our commitment to you rock hard? Would you make our commitment one that preserves, purifies, helps? Make our determination sure, Lord. May your Holy Spirit transform us to be the kind of disciples that Jesus has called us to be in service, to be humble, to be pleasing in your sight, and we'll give you the honor and the glory. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Let us close our service by singing number 144. Would you stand with me, please? If you never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to do so. Speak to me after the service today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Praise God from the Lord.